From Nevada Public Radio, I'm Heidi Kaiser. This is State of Nevada. In June of this year, a Las Vegas pilot named Lauren Nicholson Scott won a long-distance flight competition called the Air Race Classic. Scott dedicated her win to her aunt, Mary Webb Nicholson. Nicholson was one of 25 American women who flew for Great Britain's Royal Air Force in World War II. Several of their stories are told in the book Spitfires, The American Women Who Flew in the Face of Danger During World War II. It came out in May. Lauren, welcome to KNPR State of Nevada.
Thank you so much for having me.
So we are recording this conversation in mid-July of 2025. And Lauren, I want you to take us back about a month to the moment that you knew you'd won the 2025 Air Race Classic. What was that feeling?
Well, I was surprised. I was delighted, a little bit shocked. Just because I have raced before, but the first race that I did was 30 years ago as a college student. And I raced again the following year in 1996 for Purdue University. And we won that year. And so this year, after 29 years of not racing, I thought, what are the chances that I could win this thing again? But I really just wanted to compete. Originally, I was supposed to race with my daughter, who's also a pilot. She had to drop out at the last minute. And I found a replacement, fortunately, and was able to compete. But we didn't expect to do as well as we did.
So the Air Race Classic started in 1929 as the Women's Air Derby. That year, Amelia Earhart, Louise Thaden, and some other female pilots flew from Santa Monica, California to Cleveland, Ohio. This year, the route was Fairhope, Alabama to Spokane, Washington. What unique techniques are required to do a long-distance race like this?
So general pilot skills are very important, of course. So being able to read the weather, call a weather briefer if necessary. Some people even hire a weather briefer for them specifically for the race. We chose not to do that this year. So we use the tools that we do normally have for flying across country, just a fun flight. But we really tried to look in depth at the different weather information that we had to make a good decision so that we could get from point A to point B as quickly as we could.
And is this still an all-women's race?
It is still an all-women's air race. So it used to be just teams of two pilots, so a pilot and a co-pilot. Now it's open to a pilot, a co-pilot, and a passenger for teams that so choose. But it's an all-women's air race, always has been, and probably always will be.
And how competitive is it?
It depends on who's racing. So my co-pilot and I definitely just wanted to fly a clean race, we call it. So we wanted to follow all the procedures just as closely as we possibly could to the standards of the race and not accrue any penalties or break any regulations. We really just wanted to fly a clean race. That was our goal. But of course, we both tend to be a little bit competitive. And so while we're having fun and while safety is the highest priority, we definitely wanted to do well. And we knew that if we flew a clean race that we would have a good shot of at least placing probably in the top 5 or 10.
Is it unusual to fly a clean race? You said that several times, so it makes me wonder, like, is there a lot of cheating or something normally?
Not necessarily cheating, but there's very specific rules that have to be followed. So at each airport, there's called a flyby. And the flyby has a very strict parameter. I mean, you have to be directly over the runway, for example, not a foot to the left or the right of it. And so sometimes in the hectic pace of the race with other airplanes operating at the same time, sometimes taking off from the same airport at the same time, and our concern with safety and looking out for other airplanes, it can be easy to kind of get off your altitude a little bit or get off your heading a little bit. And so if that happens and you get outside of that box, you accrue penalties.
You mentioned that you had originally intended to fly with your daughter, and you have several family members who are pilots. Who are your other family members that fly?
So it all started with my Aunt Mary Webb Nicholson. She was the first pilot in our family. She taught her brother, my dad, how to fly. They both were World War II ferry pilots. And then my dad went on to be an airline pilot and a chief pilot. And one of his pilots that worked for him at the airline had a small airstrip in North Carolina, and he invited my brother and me to go up for an introductory flight. And both of us, I think, had flown commercially so many times growing up because my parents were both in the airlines. My mother was a flight attendant. But this was the first time I had ever been in a small plane. And it was a tiny yellow Piper Cub from World War II era. We flew with the door open because it was summer and it was hot. And it flies at like 60 miles per hour. It's nice and slow, but you just feel the ground disappear beneath you, and all of a sudden you're airborne. And it's an amazing feeling. So that was really when I decided that I wanted to learn how to fly. Similar story for my brother. I had another brother who's passed away now, but he also solo, or actually he got his private pilot certificate as well. So he did it for fun. I taught my daughter how to fly a few years ago. She's now also an airline pilot. And then I have another daughter who's an air traffic controller.
So definitely something that runs in the family.
It does run in the family, yes.
And the airline industry has been kind of banging the drum of the pilot shortage since the COVID-19 pandemic, although the Airline Pilots Association argues that there is no such shortage, and they claim that it's actually a ploy designed to help them make a case for reduced training, weaker safety laws, and hiring inexperienced aviators for less pay. As a pilot, what are you seeing in the industry?
I'm not involved in the hiring process, and I'm not involved in reviewing people's, you know, experience levels or training levels or anything like that before they're hired. But the airline industry is cyclical, and so there's always going to be slowdowns, and there are always going to be surges ahead. And after COVID, the market rebounded so quickly, and paired with that, because of COVID, a lot of pilots had taken early retirement. So once we started moving again as a country and people were felt safe to travel, I do believe that the shortage was exacerbated and was definitely felt during that period. I think now the hiring has caught up for the most part with the demands. And now it's not necessarily, from what I've heard, a pilot shortage as much as it is a captain shortage.
When you won the Air Race Classic, you dedicated your win to your aunt, Mary Webb Nicholson, that you mentioned earlier, and she was one of the so-called Spitfires, these American women pilots who flew for Great Britain's Royal Air Force during World War II. First of all, tell me about your aunt, Mary. What was she like?
So unfortunately, she did pass away in the war, and so I never got an opportunity to meet her. So all I have are some newspaper clippings and the stories that have been handed down through our family of what she's like. So from what I know, she was a typical Nicholson. So she was a woman of faith, very devoted to her church and to God. She played piano for her church and majored in music as well. And she was also a very hard worker, very smart, disciplined, but kind of quiet and not showy.
And why did the Spitfires fly for the Royal Air Force in Great Britain instead of the U.S.?
Well, there were women pilots in the U.S. who were trying to promote the idea of women flying for the U.S. military. But because of the society at that time and what the norms were for women, and because we were later to enter the war, they didn't see the need for women to be the pilots for the U.S. That changed after Pearl Harbor, and it also changed for Britain a lot sooner than it did for us. So Great Britain was definitely willing to have people fly their military aircraft who otherwise wouldn't have been able to fly, including women.
And you mentioned earlier that these were ferry pilots. Explain for us what that is.
Yeah, so the ferry pilots would take planes either from the manufacturers, so they would be brand new planes that were being delivered to the front lines. They would also be ferrying planes that maybe had been returned to the manufacturing to have maintenance done on them, and then they would be taking them to the front lines.
And why was that such a dangerous job?
Numerous factors. One being that they were working as hard as they could to keep these airplanes flying. And so sometimes the parts maybe weren't up to standard, or they would piecemeal the plane back together to get it flying, but it wasn't up to the same standards that we would require, for example, today in commercial aviation. It was also dangerous because there were air raids, and so they could have been shot down or they could have been attacked by aerial fighters that were coming over from the mainland. And it was also dangerous because the weather in England was not very conducive for visual flying. So they didn't really have official training to fly in the clouds. A lot of the pilots learned how to do it on their own because they knew they were going to have to do it. But the official policy was they were to stay in visual conditions.
And I believe the story of your Aunt Mary illustrates at least one of those dangers. Tell us what happened to her.
Yeah, so the story goes that she was ferrying a plane from the factory to her base where she was going to be reassigned. And as she was traveling alongside other women who were in other planes next to her, The weather deteriorated and some of the women turned back. She continued on, but unfortunately she developed an oil leak in the plane, which caused the engine to seize. The propeller, because of the engine seizing, detached from the plane. As far as I know, it's never been recovered. I would love to find it. And of course, if you have no propeller, you have no thrust. And so the weather was poor at the time. So as she made her descent, she tried to find a suitable place to land. But by the time she broke out of the clouds, she really didn't have very many good options.
Do you think about her when you're flying?
All the time. All the time. Yeah.
What does she give you? What kind of inspiration or motivation?
I guess courage. I mean, she really loved flying, which I can completely relate to. And for the time that she found herself in, she had incredible courage just to be flying as a woman. But she did such a good job of it that she earned the respect of her peers and had this amazing opportunity to pursue what she loved. And then on top of that, the patriotism that she showed in being able to lay down her life and really use her gifts that she had been given to benefit the Allies and to try to help promote peace, that's just incredible.
Lauren Nicholson Scott is a Las Vegas pilot who recently won the 2025 Air Race Classic. Her aunt, Mary Webb Nicholson, is profiled in the book Spitfires, The American Women Who Flew in the Face of Danger During World War II. Lauren, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you for listening. I'm Heidi Kaiser. This is State of Nevada. Mm-hmm.